Morning! It's the 11th of February, it's Sunday. Oh dear. Yeah, I'm out on this run. Only, I think 9 weeks to the marathon now. Thank you for joining me. I am not feeling this at all. I've woken up not very well. I'm indoors, has given me a cold. I've got a really sore throat as well, so I'm a bit croaky. I hope you guys are okay. Thank you very much for the messages. I'm fine. Bless your hearts, don't worry. I am good. These little memories I have do set me back a little bit for a little while, but I'm very good at sort of shaking myself and dusting myself off and getting on with it. I think that's probably how I have survived all the things that have happened to me. And that's always my tip for everybody. And I left you yesterday with my dad, my stepdad, pushing me against the door by my throat. I was trying to think what had triggered that, what he was doing, what I had done. I can't remember, but I do remember he was whispering at me through gritted teeth, and I've got a feeling it was something to do with the underwear situation that I told back in the previous podcast. For those that are just listening in, this is basically I found my underwear in his bed after we left for a little holiday. To my auntie's with my mum and brother, so he thought we'd left the house, and in fact I had to go back for tickets that mum had left, and and he's basically having sex with my underwear, and I think that was that, because I would have been the same age. I just can't remember. I'm sure it'll come back to me. I have toyed in the past of having hypnosis, and because apparently you can, under hypnosis, bring these memories back. But it scares me, that does, because there's a lot of stuff I know that I have definitely wanted to forget on purpose. I've buried it, so I actually don't want to relive those things again. Somebody's asked me about the cupboard again in the title. I have explained it in a couple of episodes. The cupboard is my little wardrobe. It's a little cupboard that goes over the top of the stairs. So if you can imagine a bedroom and then a staircase going down underneath the bedroom into the hallway. So that would, the bedroom above would be my bedroom. And the staircase the cupboard was over the staircase, so it was a good place to hide because I could hear people coming up the stairs, and my mum, when she was in a foul temper, you could hear her stomping up the stairs, and you could hear all sorts going on, and it was a cupboard I used to hide in.
Time 3 hours 30 minutes. Distance 13.57 miles. Average pace 15 minutes 29 seconds per mile.
That's my timer, my running timer. I've done 13 miles. Woo! So I used to hide in this cupboard when things were getting bad. My stepfather used to sneak into the bedroom at night. Oh, that frightened me, a little duck. When I was asleep, and I don't know, well, I think I know why, I don't want to know why, so often I would either sleep underneath my bed, and sometimes he would look underneath the bed, so I'd pretend to be reading my book. I was reading my book, I remember that now. I used to have a torch, and he would tell me off and tell me to get into bed. I think the fact that I was still awake probably deterred a plan that he probably had. And Yeah, but for some reason, he'd never looked in the cupboard. I don't know whether I got lucky or he thought I was in bed. I had seen quite a few programs with that you put your pillow where your body is if you weren't in your bed, and I used to do that quite a lot. So whether he thought I was there, I don't know. Often I'd sleep in that cupboard. My brother set fire to that cupboard once when I lived there. It was my bedroom. He set fire to my clothes, my toys. Used to play with matches quite a lot. So it wasn't too bad, but I remember all my toys and everything being thrown out of the cupboard. I do like to say good morning to everybody, even people I don't know. I'm a million miles away from home today. It brightens up the day. You never know what people are going through, do you? So just like good morning, friendly good morning, friendly good afternoon. Might actually snap them out there. A little situation that they're going through. I always say hello to everybody. So the cupboard, all my toys and everything got wrecked. So they all had to be thrown out, so I had nothing. My mum went mental. I think that might be the episode that led to him going away to boarding school, as well as the stealing episode that he was involved with. Basically got coerced by older boys to hide jewellery and money that they robbed from houses. It was a clever bugger. He actually put them in drains in plastic bags. So he was definitely watching different programs to me. I'm pretty sure that's probably about the same time, so that's probably it. And I did hear that he did set fire to that cupboard again after I left school. Because my other brother told me. So they were living together at that point. So my brother spent a lot of time in the house with my little brother. I only met my little brother when he was about six, seven. So after he was born. Apparently my brother, and he was an older child, he was definitely into his teens at this stage, and living at home with my mum. He set fire. My mum was at work to the cupboard. Fire engines and everything were called out. It was quite a big fire. So I did look in that cupboard after mum passed away when we cleaned the house out. It didn't feel like the same cupboard. It's daft, isn't it? Not without my belongings in or anything. So, yeah. He's beating you.
Time, 3 hours, 35 minutes. Distance, 13.89 miles. Average pace, 15 minutes, 29 seconds per mile.
Sorry, that's really annoying. I should have turned it off before I started running. Apologies. So when I left home, I literally was just 16. And I said I moved in with a new boyfriend. He was 25, I think so. Was he 25? I think it must have been right about that. Early 20s anyway. So he was a lot older than me, and I get it now, mum's concern of an older man, because he was a man. And I was a child to her. I think I was always a child to my mum. I don't think she never wanted me to grow up. So she hated him from day one. Didn't even open his mouth before he got judged. And he was a very confident man and very cocky with it as well, which obviously wouldn't have gone down well with her. So he moved in with him. He had like a little bed sit, and he then, with me, we moved into a house in the town. And so I had to get a job, because obviously I was on an apprenticeship scheme, so and at college still. So I made sure I didn't drop out of college. So in the evenings I would work in a restaurant. So I literally would finish work, quickly run home, change into my waitressing stuff, and then work till midnight, sometimes later. And that was a lovely family run restaurant. I learned so much from them, and they took me under their wing. I think it was a good few months before they realised that I don't know why I'm saying morning to everybody, it's the afternoon, it's late afternoon. They took me under their wing. I don't think they knew that I we're not living at home with my parents until my boyfriend picked me up. And from then onwards, they made sure I got all the tips, and they made sure I was fed, and because I wasn't eating, because again, money was tight, and I was never really at home. I was always working, so no free time. So I worked 7 days a week. I think I've worked 7 days a week since then. Sort of work for myself, so every day is a working day, and so I'm not shy of work. I really enjoy work as well. I'm always on the go. But they were a lovely family, and I can't to this day look at a homemade chicken pie without thinking of them. Very fond memories. So we lived in this house for a little while, and we then, where did we go then? I know what we're doing. We were basically, I think I was then 17, came up to 18. So we basically popped houses, bedsit, bed and breakfasts, and we had cats as well. So we kind of bed and breakfast, that was, let us take the cats. We lived in a caravan, that was quite cool. We found us a caravan, and we had to go there by boat. So he'd pick me up at midnight and to take me home. And that was lovely, quite romantic really. And especially when the weather was good. When the weather was bad, oh my God, it was horrific. I think it's probably where my fear of water comes in, you know. I can't swim. I can doggy paddle, that's about it. The reason why we had to keep jumping ships is because we failed to pay the rents. So I think once our agreements were over.
Time 3 hours 40 minutes. Distance 14.19 miles. Average pace 15 minutes 30 seconds per mile.
Training now. So sorry about that. So they didn't pay the rent, and so I think we were either evicted or told to leave, which is basically the same thing, isn't it? Hello.
Well done, you.
Thank you. And but eventually we bought a house, we actually purchased that together. That was my first mortgage, and I want to say I'm 17, but I don't know whether I was legal to buy then. And sorry, look at the mud, this is terrible. That man's just passed me and didn't even move out of the way, and rude. But I definitely bought it, so I was either just 18, we got this house together, And life was okay. I was struggling with my mental health and being stalked by the stepfather. So I lived a life of fear, really. But this boyfriend liked his pot, and so did his friends. And I was a bit of an outsider, really, so because I didn't do it. But I tried to make friends. It was a bit more difficult because I wasn't part of that set. And but I made a couple of friends, and I'm still in touch with them today. And on and off, you know, it's a bit difficult. I think they're still friends with him. So, but his family were really sweet. They took me under their wing. And always when we went to visit them, they were really super, super nice. They were really posh people. And lived in a lovely house and stuff like that. So, they were super nice. But as I said, he was a very big flirt. He used to flirt a lot with one of my supposed best friends from school. And even though I was told that there was nothing going on, it was in my head and blah, blah, blah. They actually ended up marrying and having kids together. So they got their happy ending. Or not actually, because they're actually divorced. And I started work. My boss died in the estate agents that I was doing my apprenticeship with, of a heart attack quite suddenly, so I was left out of a job. But the wonderful lady that was his widow actually found me another job, but it was in the city, so I had to travel, and it was quite a big distance. It was an hour from where I live, so I didn't drive, so I was desperately trying to learn to drive. So, but I had a neighbour that used to go to the city every day, so I was able to get a lift with them, and that was really nice. And and eventually he bought me a car. I bought myself a car, but it was a wreck. I don't think it even had an engine. So he used to do that. He used to tinker with stuff a lot. He used to dip in and out of work. He'd always lose a job and then pick another job up. And he wasn't very stable financially. So relied on my income. As it turned out, I was incredibly good at what I did. And so we did have money coming in from my end. I introduced him to work colleagues. And bear in mind, I'm only 18. I'm young, 17, 18. I'm still very young and a bit naive in this world. And he definitely slept with a couple of other colleagues that I used to work with. And I just remember a time being stuck in a car, knowing that this had happened. And they were in the front seat. He was driving. The girl that I knew that he had.
Time, 3 hours, 45 minutes. Distance, 14.5 miles. Average pace, 15 minutes, 31 seconds per mile.
So sorry. I should record these, but I like to do them as I'm going. That's coming to my head. So he was driving. She was in the front seat and I was in the back. And I could see them touching each other, and the rage that built up inside me was horrific. And I ended up pulling this girl's hair, not my finest moment, but yeah, it was horrific. He had to pull over and stop us fighting, and that was it, really. The relationship really deteriorated down. I packed a bag, a bin liner, one night and planned to leave. And and he caught me. And we'd just had the most mighty, huge fight. And he tried to put me in the chest freezer. There's a new chest freezer that we bought underneath the staircase, it was. And one of those long ones. Luckily, he got stopped halfway through by the guy that was lodging with us mid-fight, and probably owe that man my life, because I don't know what would have happened if he carried on with that. And yeah, so actually the next day I did leave, and the guy that took me to work every day let's put all my stuff. I had one bin liner. That was it, of just my work clothes. And I never went back. I never told I'd been at work. I stashed the bag in a cupboard at work. No idea where I was going to stay. And I eventually, in my lunch hour, I managed to find a bed and breakfast place that was £25 a week. Just bed and breakfast. It wasn't even breakfast. No, I think it was just bread and... it was just bed. That was £25 a week. So back in those days, that was a lot of money. So this is the first time really out on my own in this big, bad world. And, I landed on my feet. They were the most loveliest people. And actually, she was the mum of somebody I went to school with. And I'm still in touch with now. Such a lovely family. So I think they quickly clocked that I wasn't eating, I was literally living on... Oh, look at this big bad puddle. I've got mesh trainers. Look at the state of me. I used to live on smash. I used to boil the kettle and make and pot noodles. Chicken and whatever pot noodles. That was my dinner for about 4 months. Anyway, she struck a deal with me, and she said, right, for an extra tenner, I'll make sure that there's an evening meal for you in the fridge for you to heat up. And so I used to come in from work. I used to work late. I worked my absolute socks off, and luckily this £35 a week was doable, and I managed to save as well, because I was good at my job. And so it's a bit very late, and I used to go in very early, so probably a 12-hour day at least. And so here I am in the big bad world. One boyfriend down. I was scared, really scared. This man actually turned up at my door in my office, in the big office I worked. There was quite a lot of people, 30 people that worked there, and dumped two bin liners in the middle of the
time floor. 3 hours 50 minutes. Distance 14.79 miles. Average pace 15 minutes 33 that seconds per mile.
Luckily I was out doing a viewing on a house, so I wasn't there for confrontation. But when I walked in, everybody just stared at me, and I was like, what? And they were like, why didn't you tell us? They were fantastic. They all rallied around me, and obviously got told off for, not telling them what had happened. I was given some driving lessons because they wanted me to be more mobile, and the managers used to take me out to view houses, but I would then have to drive back because I couldn't afford to have driving lessons. But as I was earning more money, getting more commissions, then I used to do driving lessons as well. So bless them, they wanted me as independent as possible. And I did, I passed my test. Took me 3 times. Now, that's a hilarious story. That was, 3 times it took me. My third was the same driving instructor I had on my first examiner, so I had on my first test. And I think he just wanted me out of the car, but I hit a curb. I mounted the curb, I came off the curb into the bus lane or some kind of the transport lane, and I think I got there. Morning. Oh, you're going to need a bath when you get home. My dog's white, she's a nightmare.
It's a nightmare.
I'll say morning again, it's not, it's about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Geez, this is so bad here. I'm just going to walk this, I'm going to go over it and it'll be on camera. And I got back and he blew him past me. I hugged him so much, I was screaming. My driving instructor was hilarious. He got in the car after the driving instructor left and I went, I passed. He went, I think the whole of Devon heard you. but yeah, I had my wheels and... Yeah, it was fantastic. And I remember going back to the office and telling my pass, and then my manager was like, right, out on your own to do this viewing then. And I'm like, oh my God. He went, no. And he was really encouraging to me. And he was like, right, get out there. And as I'm going, he went, don't bloody crash it. And I was like, oh my God. And that was really scary. Literally an hour after passing my test, out on my own. But it was probably the best thing to do. So I did surround myself with some lovely people, and these people actually helped me forge a future, helped me understand who I was, and showed me that not everybody were bad people, and I think that's really important. And I've babbled on for 27 minutes now, I think it's my longest, so I'll leave it there and I've got to get running because it's getting dark now, and I'll speak to you all tomorrow, and keep safe everybody, and remember, surround yourself with good people. There are a lot more out there than there are bad people, I promise you. If you ever need help, the Samaritans details are in my blog. I'll speak to you tomorrow. Take care now. Bye.